commencing countdown.
3, 2, 1.
This is The Contracting Experience.
Connecting government contracting professionals to the world around them through conversations with acquisition influencers, insights into evolving hot topics, and sharing lessons learned from the field.
Welcome, podcast listeners. On this episode of The Contracting Experience, we sit down with Ms. Robin Hara, who was recently competitively selected as the new Air Force Materiel Command Technical Director of Contracting. She comes to us from the Air Force Life Cycle Management Center, where she was the Chief of Contracts for Special Programs. We'll get to know a little bit about Ms. Hara and the role of the Technical Director as she shares some of her experiences and offers some words of wisdom. Welcome, Robin Hara.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Oh, glad to have you on the podcast. Hey, first off, congratulations on your selection as the AFMC PK Tech Director. That's got to be super exciting. And just as we sometimes like to unintentionally embarrass our newcomers, why don't you stand up? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Rob. Yes, again, my name is Robin Hara. I was born and raised in Wisconsin. I earned an undergraduate degree from Northern Michigan University, which is in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan on the beautiful Lake Superior. Upon completion of my business degree, I was hired by Wright State University here in the Dayton area. And during this time, I completed my master's and met my husband, who's also in contracting. And together we have twins who turn 16 this year, which doesn't even seem feasible. I've taken what I believe is an untraditional path to get to where I am today. I started my contracting career in operational contracting, and back then it was the 88th CONS. From there, I moved to the Air Force Research Labs, where I earned my unlimited. And I also, at that time, had the opportunity to work with Mr. Rob Lorton. From AFRL, I promoted into the Black World of Special Access Programs. During these early years, I was offered multiple source selection opportunities and completed my Air Command and Staff College PME. And then at that time, I finally did earn a little bit of contract execution. So between operational contracting, AFRL, and all the source selections, I always felt like I was completing contracts, but never really had the execution under my belt. So I was afforded that opportunity, and I'm very, very thankful for that. From there, I heard about a unique opportunity to be an executive officer for the executive director of the Air Force Life Cycle Management Center. I was intrigued, and I applied, and I was competitively selected for the position. This position is where I learned that I absolutely love staff work. I was also selected during this time for the Executive Leadership Development Program, which would happen in my next assignment. So my next assignment kind of came out of the blue. I was offered a career broadener in program management based upon my connections I had made in my previous lives, as I say, and for my hard work and for my TSSCI clearance. I worked on the VC-25B program for 3 years and did some pretty incredible work there. I also completed ELDP at this time. Out of that assignment, I was hired to be the Special Programs Contracting Div Chief over at Fighters and Advanced Aircraft under AFL-CMC. This mission was a one of a kind, and if you ask anyone who works in that office, it's a place where you never need to ask why and what are we doing, because you go into the office and you understand the why and how you affect our warfighters every day. That position is where I completed Air War College and led me to this amazing position this past February.
Wow, very cool career path. Yeah, and I definitely remember our time in AFRL. We did that during the Brooks-Brac transition and yep. Inherited a whole bunch of contracts and really brought services to AFRL. So yeah, very cool experience there. But a little fun fact about Robin Hara that probably isn't on your professional resume. You used to competitively race motorcycles. Is that correct?
I did. Wow. And it was during a time in my life where I was kind of floundering. So break. I always wanted to be in the Air Force. And after high school, I went and took all the tests and was medically disqualified for a skin rash that no longer is a disqualifier, but that's besides the point. So I didn't know what I was going to do. So I started racing motorcycles and welding. So I decided that I should probably pick path. And so I picked business. And in order for me to graduate from college, I had to pay for it myself. Therefore, up in Wisconsin, we had a lot of factories and I welded in high school. And I brought that on during my summer work to pay for my college. So those are actually two little tidbits of fun facts about me.
Wow, very cool. Yeah, and again, our podcast listeners are going to go know something about you that nobody else knows. So very, very cool. Thanks for sharing that. So on to business. As the new tech director for AFMC PK, you've been on the job with us a couple months now. How's it going? Any big surprises, funny first day on the job stories, anything you can share with us? And any dirt going on at headquarters you can share?
Oh, that's such a loaded question, Rob. but no, actually, so to be honest, like the technical director at AFMC PK, this position, I'm getting a better feel with each day that I'm here in this role. There are no big surprises for me, but I think, and I haven't really had this discussion with Ms. Bullock, but I think she might have been a little shocked at how many times the first week that I was here, she introduced me to other people working in headquarters and important senior leaders. And so she would go and she would introduce me and we would kind of smile and shake. And then they'd be like, oh, yeah, I work with Robin, blah, 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 blah. So there are a lot of people. The contracting world is very, very small. And I think that came to light when I took this position. But so far, so good. No surprises. And I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah, all right. Excellent. Yeah, we're super stoked to have you on staff. I was pleased to see your name when you were competitively selected. So that's awesome. So maybe for some of our listeners who aren't familiar with the role of the technical director, can you tell us a little bit about the role? For instance, like technical director, that shouldn't be confused with technology director, right?
Yeah, absolutely, because I am not a technology buff by any stretch of the imagination, which everybody up here in the front office is understanding. Yes, absolutely. I'm going to give you the technical, the textbook version of what it says on paper, and then I'll go into a little bit more. But the role of a tech director is to provide technical experience and guidance on contracting matters to ensure compliance with laws, policy, and guidance. In addition, our center TDs are competition and commercial advocates for our industry partners to ensure that the Air Force objective is met. So this is a crucial role in ensuring that DAF contracts are executed in a manner aligned with global power competition and the DAF mission. So break, Robin. So I've learned throughout my career that your positions are what you make of it. You can go in and do exactly what's on your position description and meet, I'm sure, the mission and all the things. But if you have ideas that are above and beyond that you can, you know, have an impact to the warfighter, to the career field, to whatever, please lean forward and do those things. And that's what I'm hoping to do. I have what I believe are some really great ideas and intentions of collaborating with other TDs when it comes to working through the challenges of the Great Power Competition reorganization. I'm leading the fire and the GFP material weakness team from AFMC. And lastly, I plan to keep classified contracting in all dialogue when making decisions.
Well, that leads to an excellent segue that I wanted to ask. So you've spent a large portion of your career in special programs working in a classified environment. So I know you can't share the details of those jobs. I wish you could. But do you have any advice for our listeners working in those environments, or maybe for those listeners who are interested and working in the working kind of in the vault, so to speak.
So, Rob, this is one of those topics where I feel like we could have an entire podcast just about it, especially with as passionate as what I am for this type of work. First off, for the individuals who are already who've already raised their hands and are doing the work in the vault, please keep it up. Our warfighters need you more than ever. For those who are interested in working in a vault, I believe there are a lot of misconceptions about vault work. While I was the chief of contracts for special programs, I would show up at training events and offer to answer questions that anyone had. And it wasn't really a topic on the agenda, but I would just sit down at a table with a whole bunch of trainees and explain who I was and just ask them if they had any questions. And I had several questions asked several times at differing events. So a couple of them were, how many of your kids' school or sporting events did you miss or do you miss? I've heard that in a vault, you cannot telework. Once you're in the vault, you can't get out. And the last one that I heard quite often is it hard to not have your electronic devices? Because I'm on my phone all the time. So just to really quickly answer some of these questions, I never missed anything from my kids' school. I will say that working in a vault environment, the leadership there understands the sacrifices having to be in the vault every day. So there is a lot of accommodations made around leave and whatnot to make sure that your family life is not impacted. The telework question, that's always a hot topic. So it depends. What I mean is that there, in my previous position, we couldn't do any quote unquote mission work on Nipper. However, that doesn't mean that if something came up and you needed to work from home, you couldn't knock out your CLP or your mandatory yearly trainings for like cyber awareness and things like that. So There are opportunities for telework, and there's also vault options that offer a hybrid work environment where you come into the vault so many days a week, and then you telework so many days a week. So just because you hear vault work, please don't assume that it just means automatic no telework. Once you get in the vault, you can't get out. I've been in and out of the vault for 10 years, but that was by my choice. I really enjoyed each of the different missions that I worked, and I was hired out of it. So again, you make your career what you want it to, and they can't force you to stay in that position. And to be honest, I do believe that once you get there, you really don't want to leave because the mission and the projects that you work are so very cool. Lastly, about the electronic devices. Yes, we have kids, and that was one of my bigger questions when I first went into the vault my first time, and it was really not that big of a deal because you still have a telephone on your desk, you have a computer in front of you, and then you have multiple other computers in front of you. But for example, in my last assignment, I had some things personally going on with my family, and I gave the administrative assistance number to my family, and if they couldn't get a hold of me at my desk, they could get a hold of her, and she would come find me because she had access to my calendar. So and the same thing with the kids' school. The kids' school administrators had the same information, and if they couldn't get a hold of me and couldn't get a hold of my admin, then they would go to my husband, and it always worked out. So it really wasn't as big of a deal as what I fear that people think it is.
Yeah, thanks for clarifying, though. And you're absolutely right. Those are some big misperceptions. I hear them as well. And it seems like you are like the poster person to give that presentation, right? You and your husband, Joel, both very demanding careers in the contracting world, both very successful all the time while raising twins and never missing a sporting event. That's absolutely impressive. So, yeah, thanks again for sharing those misperceptions.
Yep.
All right, let's moving on here. So recently, I heard you give an AFMC orientation to Jumpstart 48. It's hard to believe we're on Jumpstart 48. I remember hiring folks out of Jumpstart 2. seems like last week. But you were talking to Jumpstart 48 here at WritePad a few weeks ago. You reflected on your own career, kind of like you did here in the podcast, but you really gave them some great advice. Specifically, my takeaway was grow where you're planted. Can maybe try to replicate that advice here for our listeners and share that? And maybe not just at the trainee or intern level, but maybe for some of us at different phases in our careers.
Yeah, absolutely. But let me just clarify one thing. It was a you and I effort, Rob Lorden. That AFMC orientation, and I look forward to the next one as well. It's really great getting out in front of trainees, but since you asked about trainees and people at differing stages of their careers, I have a couple things that I would like to share. So what I'm about to talk to you guys about is sometimes I have to remind myself the same thing because you kind of go in ebb and flows in your career, right? And yes, the first one is grow where you're planted. I'm pretty sure this one came from my husband, who helped me understand that there is a learning experience in all that we do. So for example, my first 4 weeks in operational contracting, I stood at a copy machine making Rule 4 files for a recent protest. And yes, back in the day, it was all paper all the time. So it was literally me standing there for 8 hours a day, Xeroxing and making sure that these 4-inch binders were identical for the protest evaluators. I thought this can't be it. This is not what I was hired for, right? Well, at the same time, the people who were hired at the same time as me were working at then ASC, and they were working big weapon systems, and I thought I was missing out. But then I grew where I was planted. I learned through repetition and working with multiple PCOs and became very proficient in contracting, and then let the largest service contract of the time, back in the day, at $40 million. And for a cons, this was a pretty big dollar value. And to be honest, those cons days were some of the best 3 years of my contracting experience. I learned cradle to grave contracting and made great friends along the way. The next topic that I did want to cover, which I know you're going to be shocked, right, is classified contracting. I'm going to keep it real short and sweet, but just do it. I was in and out for 10 years, as I made mention before, and there's a mission like no other. And if anybody wants to reach out to me, I'm going to say this at the end as well. Please do not hesitate. Next is change is inevitable. Learn, but what I ask of you is learn and understand how you personally navigate change. If you don't handle change well, work on it. If you don't know how to work on it, get with your mentor, which leads me to my next tip is find a mentor or two or three. Believe it or not, they are out there and they/we generally want to help and care about you and your career. I have multiple. I am also a mentor to many. And to be honest, it's one of my top favorite parts of my life, not just my career, but because as a mentor, you don't, at least in my experience, we don't just talk about career. You get to know the whole person. Lastly, I don't even know where I came up with this because, but it is so pertinent, I believe. And it's don't send that email. We will all be in situations in our careers where emotions bubble and we draft that very pointed and potentially unprofessional email to make a point. Don't send it. And I say this because, as I made mention earlier, where Miss Bullock, I think, was surprised at how many people she introduced me to that I already knew. Again, contracting is a small community. Acquisition is also pretty small. And you will work with these people again. So just don't send the email.
Yep, absolutely. And I know of a couple examples that immediately come to mind when you say that. They may seem like folklore nowadays, but they really did happen. And again, when I see that, I hear that, I always go back to, I'm pretty sure it's still one of the PME books, Lincoln on Leadership. After President Lincoln passed away, they went through his desk and they found out all these scathing letters that he had written in his desk, but he just never mailed them. Right. He wrote it down. He got it off his chest, but he never sent them for exactly the reasons your layout here. So, yeah, that's phenomenal advice. Awesome stuff. So, Ms. Sarah, thank you for joining us on the podcast today. It's been great getting to know the person behind the position, if you will. Appreciate all the great advice you provided to our listeners. Is there anything else you'd like to add or maybe a question that you were hoping I was going to ask?
So, first of all, thank you for the opportunity, but I do not have anything at this time, but I did just want to go back to my previous comment that I am just a Teams chat, phone call, email away. If anyone wants to chat, some of my bigger subjects that I really enjoy talking about are civilian development, because I went through ELDP and I've actually been on another podcast regarding that many moons ago, PME, career goals, classified contracting, or really anything else. I just want the community to know that I'm here for you. So reach out.
All right. Awesome stuff. So again, on behalf of the Contracting Experience Podcast and all of our listeners and subscribers, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your insights into the world of Air Force contracting and your role as the AFMC Tech Director. It's been a pleasure having you. And thanks to all of our podcast listeners, followers, and subscribers. If you have any feedback, suggestions for topics, or future guests you would like to hear on the podcast, you can submit those via email to thecontractingexperience@gmail.com. As a reminder, you can subscribe to the Contracting Experience Podcast from any of your podcast listening platforms. Be sure to subscribe to receive updates and automatic downloads so you don't miss a single episode. I'm your host, Rob Lorton, from the AFMC Contracting Digital Division, and I hope you can join us again on our upcoming episodes. Until then, stay tuned and stay connected.